You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, continuing with our series, Minding Michigan, as we explore mental health issues in our state. Turning now to electroconvulsive therapy, ECT. It's a mental health treatment that can be powerfully effective, but largely because of the way it's been portrayed in film or television, ECT is wrapped in stigma and misconception. The University of Michigan Department of Psychiatry has just opened a new mental health unit that expands its ability to offer electroconvulsive therapy to patients. Dr. Daniel Maxner is director of the U of M ECT program. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Just exactly what does ECT do and how does it do it?
ECT is a very brief treatment where we're inducing a brief seizure under anesthesia. So it's a very controlled treatment where there's a lot of medical monitoring going on. And what we're doing is drifting off a patient to sleep for about 5 minutes, and then muscles are relaxed with another medication. And then a brief electrical stimulation is applied to the scalp, and that induces a seizure. And this seizure is the therapeutic part of the treatment. It has many biologic effects that, you know, from various lines of research that we know, has a lot of different biological effects.
Is it kind of like hitting sometimes when a computer jams up and you hit the reset button and kind of, you know, restart it? Does it kind of do that to the brain?
In very simplistic terms, I think that we use that analogy a fair amount. It's one of those things, though, that the reset button may have to be pushed a few times. In a course of treatment, it tends to be an average of about 9 treatments for most patients to get better from their bad depression or other illness.
Now, let's talk about the kind of patients that most benefit from ECT. What would be some of the conditions that you've seen in your experience it's the most useful?
The vast majority of patients are depressed patients that have had what we call treatment-resistant depression. Sometimes the patients are extremely sick. They might be in the hospital. They may not be eating or drinking. Depression, by and large, is the majority of patients that we treat. However, there are other illnesses such as bipolar illness where there may be manic episodes. And so on the high side of that particular mood disorder, ECT can be used very effectively for that as well. Another area is psychosis, when psychosis is out of control or resistant to medications. And some patients with schizophrenia may also have benefit with ECT with the right patient selection.
Now, doctor, I know that you know for most of the public, what we know of electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, is what we see in popular culture when we watch TV or movies. I'm thinking of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. We saw that. The film A Beautiful Mind, where Russell Crowe's character John Nash undergoes a number of treatments in the 1950s for paranoid schizophrenia. That was tough to watch. And then the Showtime series Homeland comes to mind, where Claire Danes' character of Carrie Matheson battles bipolar disorder, so she undergoes ECT. And again, this is supposed to be modern times. It looked violent and it looked rough. When you see these scenes, do you cringe?
Most definitely. In fact, I try not to watch most of them, but I do.
Why?
Because it's such a false portrayal. My father was a physician as well, and he always laughed at how Hollywood portrays medicine in general. And then for me, being a psychiatrist and doing this treatment that carries a lot of stigma, it's very, you know, difficult to stomach in a lot of ways.
Is it your sense that perhaps if someone could be helped by ECT, if they've watched Homeland and seen Claire Danes reenacting this violent treatment, that they might not want to go in that direction?
Correct. I mean, if you look at the past portrayals of ECT in the movies and in TV, you'll see that it went from being a drastic but yet potentially helpful treatment to something that's actually punishing and violent. And
like in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And in that particular movie, if you really think about it, that movie had about 30 seconds of ECT portrayed, but that is one of the biggest hurdles that I face as a clinician trying to explain what ECT is to patients. They continually bring that up to me, even during consultations, and it happened just today as well.
Wow, and that movie is 40 years old.
Correct.
Stop and think. So it really did stick in people's minds. And then that term, shock therapy. What do you think when you hear people refer to it as shock therapy?
Well, you know, you can either embrace the old term or you can try to ditch the old term. I try to ditch the old term myself, but sometimes when you're trying to educate the public, you may want to just use what's in the common vernacular and educate from there. People that come to mind that have done such a thing is a mentor of one of my mentors at the University of Michigan. a person who's written books on patient education, family education about ECT, has actually used that term, shock therapy, in the title of his book. Another person that's done the same thing is Kitty Dukakis. So in 2006, she wrote a book that used the same term, shock therapy, and explained how shock therapy helped her and deal with her depression and was life-saving.
If you were to take, let's say, the modern representation, such as I watched just a season or two ago on Homeland, where Carrie Mathison has this ECT, how do you compare with what you see every day as you treat people with ECT? What is it like for the patient?
Well, the patient comes into the treatment room, and it's a very calm environment typically. You have multiple healthcare professionals. You have an anesthesia team that's there. And again, it's a very calm environment where there's no buzzing of machines. And in fact, we'll have some music in the room and sometimes I'll have patients, select music that they want to have for the room. And then the medication, it's an IV that's started, and then a medication drifts them to sleep for about 5 minutes only. So it's a very brief treatment. So patients have this image like they're going to be out for a long time. They're going to be violently shaking and so forth under anesthesia, and it's very anxiety provoking for them. However, in reality, it's a very quick treatment where they're literally only asleep for 5 minutes, and after the brief seizure is over, which we monitor with brainwave monitoring, and there is
because you know what you're going for.
We're monitoring that very closely, and there's no violent shaking or anything like that you might see on TV or in the movies.
And when they wake up, what do they feel?
Just like when you wake up from a surgery, you might feel a little bit groggy and tired after surgery, and it takes about 15 to 30 minutes to wake up. Our recovery nurses, help them wake up and orient and make sure they're clear and have something to eat or drink, and pretty soon, within 30, 60 minutes, they're dressing and getting ready to go home.
You say this is a miracle, this treatment. You've used that term. Why?
Well, when I was a very junior physician learning psychiatry at the University of Michigan, when I did my training 20-some years ago, I saw patients receive ECT, and it became clear to me that it was something I really wanted to do in my practice. And you see patients who are catatonic. You see patients who are literally on death's door in a lot of ways. They're not eating and drinking. They're extremely withdrawn. And or they're just extremely miserable. They're suicidal. They're dangerously ill. And when you can correct that and you can get them into remission, 60 to 90% of the time, it is a miracle in many ways.
If I were to ask you, what would you say to someone who has been told that they should consider electroconvulsive therapy, what would that be?
I would tell them to make sure you get a really thorough evaluation going into ECT or any treatment that is perceived as being fairly invasive, that you'd want to have a very good, thorough evaluation to make sure that it's the appropriate treatment for you. I spend quite a bit of time in my evaluations evaluating the whole picture of the patient, not only just the depression symptoms, but the psychosocial situation, the family dynamics, what's happening, the stressors that they might be undergoing, as well as trying to understand, are they really resistant? Have they tried other treatment strategies that might be appropriate for them ahead of ECT? But not to be fearful, that if it's recommended, that it should be something that you should really consider.
Your program at U of M is one of the few to treat teens with electroconvulsive therapy.
Correct.
Why is it not more widely offered?
The reasons stem from, not a lot of clinicians do ECT in this patient population. So I think that is one big issue. One of my colleagues a number of years ago did a survey of psychologists and psychiatrists where they asked about their exposure to ECT. Did they see that in their practice? Do they recommend ECT for their adolescent patients? And the results were alarmingly low as far as what they really understood about ECT and whether they were actually referring for this treatment. So I think there's a lot of educational parts of this where the clinicians are not trained in where ECT may be appropriate. I think that's a big problem right there. One big issue for me is that what people don't understand is that mental illness does not really care about an age. Just like cancer or any other major life-threatening illness, mental illness, depression, doesn't really care whether you're 98 or whether you're, 18.
Such a good point. Dr. Daniel Maxner, director of the ECT program, Electroconvulsive Therapy Program at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much for speaking with us and clearing away some of the Hollywood misconceptions.
Thank you.